We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back on Nagy and Perloff. A lot of discussion about the NBA Finals and legacies, dynasties. And you know, I'd like to talk to somebody from the Boston Celtics. Speaking of dynasty, that means Brian Scalabrine. Before we talk to him, this means giving some local context along with BetQL. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Bet smarter on Boston versus Golden State by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com today. Joining the show now, Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Now, Brian, you're not going to remember this. I used to work on the Dan Patrick Show. We played one-on-one in the man cave up in Milford, Connecticut, and I kind of took you to school. Do you remember this kind of chance?
Yeah, I'm not sure I remember you, but I remember the game. It was a thin court, right? Real thin. Like, there ain't no side to side. You got to play north to south in that thing.
Yeah, very, very thin. Actually, you destroyed me. I was just kidding. I knew you wouldn't remember it because you won very easily.
Yeah, I think we all knew that the White Mamba was going to take on Perloff and come out the winner.
It was an 8-foot-tall ceiling, too, so Brian could reach to the top of it and block all my shots. But, you played very well. I just want to start off on that note.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Was, you know what? I've done a lot of things in this world. That was one of my career goals, you know, highlights. People ask me all the time, what was your crowning moment, the time I played one-on-one at Dan Patrick's show? It was up there, top five for sure.
Yeah, you know, we can tell that really left an impression on you. I've had the feeling that this interview is going to do the exact same thing. It's going to be a where were you when you were listening to Brian Scalabrine on the Maggie and Perloff show, talking about game six of the NBA Finals. But first, we got to get to a topic we were just talking about, Brian. We'd love to get you to weigh in on it. And Perloff has an idea that, well, I'll let you say it.
Well, it's just that... I'm not sure that these are the best two finals teams we've seen. Sort of, it's Golden State's at the tail end of their dynasty. Boston's still young. I don't think we're going to see dynasties over the next 5-6 years. We've seen like four different champions in a row. I don't see like the back-to-back teams sort of developing over the next decade. I think we're going to see sort of random one-and-done champions for the next like long period. Do you think that makes any sense?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Like, if Al Horford was 28 years old, I'd argue that the Celtics can get back there and create a dynasty. But, you know, he's 36 right now. And, you know, like, who knows if he's going to come back. And here's another one. Like, if – you know, I love the three guards. Love them. Like, I mean, I love Al Horford, too, but you just got to be realistic. It'd be tough for him to replicate this. But, like, if Robert Williams goes on to play 82 games and doesn't get hurt, like, there's a lot of things that have to happen for that. You know, the Warriors with their age, you wonder if that's going to happen. Free agency is a little bit different now. Like, I don't know if you see like a great team like the Warriors add a guy like Kevin Durant. Like, those are kind of anomalies. So I guess I will go with you with that. It would have to take like Luka and Jokic and Giannis. If those three got together, then I would say that's a dynasty. But it would really take like some serious star power, you know, like teaming up for something like that to happen.
It'd be a dynasty. It'd also be the UN. I mean, that'd be an unbelievable team if those three guys teamed up. Brian Scalabrine is our guest. Yo, Brian, you watched the Boston Celtics very, very closely. Of course, won a title with the Celtics too. But, you know, the turnovers from the outside and someone who doesn't know the team super well, it's mind-boggling. Like, why have turnovers plagued this team so much? Why can't they clean this area up?
Yeah, so the roller coaster ride all the way up until this point, there's been different reasons, you know, throughout. You know, Milwaukee played you a little bit differently than Miami. Miami was super physical. I think the Warriors have taken a book out of Miami's page. I really do, and it's weird. you know, Miami did a really good job of funneling Jason Tatum one direction. And I think that I think the Warriors have picked up on that as well. So you're really funneling Jason Tatum, and he likes to like really get into his bag, go side to side. He likes the freedom of movement, and he doesn't like to be forced into guys like Draymond Green. There is a counter to that. Like the counter to that is to for the Celtics to play a little bit faster, drive and kick, and really like create multiple rotations for the Warriors. But my guess is that they wanted to do that in game five. They just could not. It was like they had no gas left in the tank. And I think that the fatigue really caught up to them. That's my only explanation. I can't imagine, from what I know about this team and what I know about the Warriors, and I think their coaching staff is much smarter than me, but they can't be thinking that we want to walk the ball up against the Golden State Warriors and sort of attack a Steph Curry matchup with 8 seconds on the shot clock. And anytime you have a superstar player and he's constantly up against that shot clock, then his turnovers are going to be a lot. So I would be hope, because, you know, obviously I want the Celtics to win. Like that's my team. And I would hope that they can get into their offense a little bit faster, make singles versus going for the home run play. And I think that could cut down on their turnovers. Plus it puts the Warriors on their heels. Like the Warriors were definitely the more aggressive team in games four and games five.
You know, after the fourth quarter struggles for Jason Tatum, a lot of people were kind of saying, oh, you know, I think maybe, I don't think I can say he was overrated, but this sort of waters down his legacy. Do you think that's all fair, all the criticism of Jason Tatum, especially after game five? You know, kind of, to me, he was treated a little bit like if LeBron had lost the game or somebody. I thought it was a little premature. Everybody who came after and said the reason the Celtics lost that game was because of Tatum.
I mean, I'm not going to put it all on him. I didn't think any of those guys played well. He is definitely, you know, the superstar, and he's the first team all NBA. And, you know, like criticism is what it is. If it's fair, not fair, it has its place in this world. Like basketball's listen, I do phone calls all day. I have a show on SiriusXM NBA radio. I get paid to talk on TV. Like everybody, this is a huge money making machine, right? And all the peripheral, it makes this thing go. And that's part of the reason why players get an opportunity to make the money that they make. So, you know, like I think criticism is part of it. And, you know, like, did you guys see The Last Dance? How about, like, Michael Jordan, like, loved, like when things were stacked against him or if someone did him wrong or someone looked at him wrong. You know, I think, like, criticism could be a really good thing. It can motivate a guy to really, like, lock in. I don't think that NBA players at this level, if they are, I don't know, but I would just assume that, you know, they can't be bothered by that type of stuff. They just have to go out there, watch the film, get with their teammates, get with their coaches, and decide what is the best way for us to win this game, and replicate that over and over again. And don't worry about what people say and you know, your legacy or any of that stuff. Like, your legacy is winning championships, and you got to do whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah, except for Kevin Durant. He seems very aware of the conversation.
Well, does it affect him? He's still one of the best players in the world. I don't know if it, like, actually affects his game. You know, the guy works and everything like that. So, you know, it could bother you. Like, I think if someone were to criticize Michael Jordan, I think it would bother him. I think it did. Like, I don't think he talked to Sam Smith for like 4 or 5 years afterwards. But
Scal, you didn't even have to actually insult or criticize Jordan. He would just make it up. Like, he would fabricate the story just to give himself some kind of chip.
Yeah. So I don't think it's all bad. I think it's all part of it, and you should embrace it. And you should own some of it. Like, Jason Tatum knows he's not playing that well. And, you know, as far as, like, affecting your legacy, I think that's kind of, like, a big stance. But, you know, like, costing you a championship, yeah, you got to play well if you're a star to win a championship.
I said I thought that Tatum could have been costing them a championship. Perloff didn't agree. That was yesterday's show. We also want to ask you about Steph Curry, though. I'm not going to ask you a legacy question necessarily, because that's kind of been played out with Steph, and we all know, you know, what he is, and he's been incredible. What is most impressive about what he's doing right now, or do you have criticisms of Steph's performance in the finals?
No. I mean, I got a chance to coach him, and I played with some studs. Like, I played with Pierce, Garnett, Ray Allen, Jason Kidd, Derrick Rose during his MVP year. And when I coached the Golden State Warriors for 1 year, I was floored by everything about him. I was floored about the way he acted. I was floored about his competitiveness, how he works, how he works on his off days. I mean, I could not. It was like I was floored by how strong he was, and he looked like he was 15 years old. I could not. Like, the guy was otherworldly, and I got, speaking of criticism, right? Like, people were like, laughed at me when I got done. I got done coaching, went back to the media. I guess, like, you guys, I'll tell you one thing I learned from being your coach. You guys are sleeping on Steph Curry. Like, this guy's going to be an MVP one day. Like, he just has to learn how to pass out of a double team, and this dude is unstoppable. So I am, like, the biggest Steph Curry fan in the world. I think he's an assassin out there. I think he guards. Like, he's in great shape. He works on his body. He doesn't make excuses. Like, I'm a big, big, big Steph Curry fan. So him having an off game in the finals is what it is. You know, I don't think his legacy is cemented. I think if he wins the championship this year, it's going to really affect it. I think winning this championship could mean more than maybe all the other ones, because we all know when they got Kevin Durant, that thing was over from game one. As soon as he signed there, that thing was over. We could wish and hope that they didn't figure that thing out. Man, they were always going to figure that thing out. So, no, I think this championship means a lot, and the way that he's playing, it means a lot. And guess what? He ain't going anywhere, because he's going to be back working, and he's going to be back conditioning and taking care of his body, and he's going to be good again the following year.
You know, Scal, just because you know Steph Curry, you have an insight into his psyche because you coached him, I'm curious about this. Perloff and I were talking about this a couple days ago, about if things had gone poorly for the Warriors and say they lose the finals, say Boston comes storming back, is there an urgency where Steph before has said, you know, he was on board with the franchise and their strategy of not cashing in their draft picks and going after another superstar, but letting these younger guys develop. You know, they brought in Andrew Wiggins, obviously, but like letting the young guys develop and not going star chasing again. Do you think he'll have that same like approach if somehow they lose this finals? Or like, do you think that Steph is going to get to a place where he starts feeling the urgency to try to stack as many rings as he can before he's out of his prime?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with both these teams, the Celtics and the Warriors, I think it kind of surprised. I think the ownerships have won championships. Like the Golden State Warriors, they know what it takes to be on top, and so do the Celtics. Like this same ownership, and Danny Ainge was, you know, like in my opinion, I think he kind of like, this is going to take a long time for me to build this championship team and see this thing through. So he kind of like bailed on the team, right? Like, and they're both in a position to win. So I do believe that the Warriors probably thought, we're not there yet. Like, this team is not good enough. Even if we were to trade these guys, we wouldn't be at that level yet. I do believe that. And then as the season started and the rules have changed, you know, a little bit more physicality, it benefited both teams, the Warriors with their ball movement, the Celtics with their physicality. And I think they both like really benefited from that. So now I think both teams are in a position where, like, the Celtics were, like, adamant about not going into the tax. Well, now you're in the NBA Finals. I think following this up, you'd be like, you know what? We can go into the tax. Like, right. We've created a championship-caliber team. And for the Warriors, you know what? We still have a window. Like, their window when all that thing started, Klay Thompson was just coming back. It's a little bit different now. We know Klay Thompson's going to be good next year. We know that they're, like, a piece away. And you have to factor in the aging of those guys where they can't carry the load throughout 82-game season. You remember Steph Curry took that long break at the end when he got hurt. So I think it would be not just on Steph Curry and to ask for that, but I think on the organization to say, you know what, man, we really are closer than we think. Let's trade some of these young guys. Or first, let's push them up. Like, let's see how good a Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, and Wiseman are. Like, those guys might be really good. Like, we never thought that Andrew Wiggins was this good or even Jordan Poole was this good. So they've done a great job of developing their guys. So who's to say that they now say, all right, whatever the answer is, they'll have that over the course of this summer and starting next year. But I think that you're right as far as January and February roll around. I think there's going to be a lot more teams that feel like they're closer than what we've seen in the past based on what the Celtics and the Warriors just done. You know, the Celtics were 18-21 at one point during the season, and now they're a couple games away from the championship. So I think this kind of shifts the narrative of the NBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Brian, I think you're going to be sympathetic to this take. I've been saying since the finals started that if Al Horford wins the title this year, he is headed to the Basketball Hall of Fame based on a couple things.
Hold on. Yeah. He didn't just say it. He's been like the Pied Piper trying to lead some kind of Al Horford sort of march to Springfield. Well, he undersold that.
Two national titles in college. He would have an NBA title, 5 All-Star appearances, and a lot of international success. That seems to be a formula for the Hall of Fame.
What's his international success?
Let's see.
He enlighten us all, Perloff.
He was on the 2011 Argentina team, the 2012 Puerto Rico team, and the 2008 Mexico team.
Meanwhile, he's from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, that's
he played on all three of those teams.
Yeah.
I said, how many passports does Al Horford have? Does he work for the CIA?
Jason Bourne over here.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know what?
I'm being corrected here.
Okay.
So he was with the Dominican Republic team, and that's who they lost to every year. Is that right?
Perloff, read a basketball reference page.
Okay. All right.
It did not seem right that Al Horford would have been playing for Argentina.
Yeah, that was amazing, right? I was like, how did I not know this, right?
Whatever.
I cover the guy. This to me, right?
Don't let that get in the way of the argument here.
It is unbelievable what he did. And I don't think there'll be another player that wins back-to-back. Like, that's really tough to do. Like, it's like most guys that do, they end up leaving anyways. But
yeah, college, yeah.
Hall of Fame is, you know what? He's knocking on the door, but there's a lot of good players who aren't in the Hall of Fame right now. I know, like, some of those old-timers, man, those guys are good, and they've won championships and played well in championships and stuff like that, and finals. Like, so, I don't know. You put Draymond Green in there? Do you put Iguodala in there? Do you put those guys in there or not?
I think they will get in. Yeah, I definitely Draymond, maybe Iguodala.
Yeah, okay. So I guess,
you got a center who averaged fewer than 10 rebounds a game. Come on, Scal, say it.
Sometimes the stats don't, like, listen, I'll be, like, I have to explain to people how good Al Horford is, like, how important he is to the team and all that stuff. But, like, the Hall of Fame is, like, a different animal. But, Sam, you guys are really sticking me with these legacy questions. That's tough. I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't ever even thought of him like that. And, the back-to-back national championships, but I can't really 100% co-sign that yet, but I do think he's better than people think, and he's more impactful, and his longevity is remarkable how he could be doing this at age 36. So I'll give you all that, but, I mean, I just think the Hall of Fame. You know what? How about one day when this finals is over, I'll go up and ask him and what he thinks about him being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Maybe as an international player. How about that? Like, there is a international committee versus just a guy who makes it, he might go down as an international player.
Yeah, make sure to ask him all the details about when he played for the Argentinian national team, according to Perloff.
Real quick, Brian, is he a nice guy? He seems like a very nice
phenomenal.
Man.
No, he's phenomenal, and he's competitive. He's everything you would want in a player, right? Hard-nosed, works hard, takes care of his body, competitive, and like treats people with respect. And that's all I can – I mean, in this world nowadays, man, when people treat other people with respect – I got a lot of respect for guys like that.
Brian, can't tell you how much we appreciate you doing this. I know it's a busy time of year. Good luck to your Celtics, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. All right, see ya.
Appreciate you. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by BetQL. Bet smarter on Boston and Golden State with expert picks, spread analysis, betting trends, and more. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I know we were going with the legacy questions. I was going to be like, Keith Van Horn. I don't know.
Obviously,
New Jersey Nets jokes, those tend to fall a little flat around here.
I'm wondering, like, so why are they listing every team that Al Horford lost to in his bio here? I don't get this whole thing.
I think it was assumed that he was obviously playing for the Dominican Republic.
Wait, I didn't know that the Dominican Republic always had a team in FIBA.
I think I think John Calipari at one point was coaching the Dominican Republic team.
So just for the record, right above where it lists all those teams, it says men's basketball representing Dominican Republic. FIBA AmeriCup 2011 Argentina, 2012 Puerto Rico, 2008 Mexico. Those are the teams that they either beat for those medals or the teams that they lost to not get the medals. But like,
so they won medals. So like, he's
he won two bronze and a gold.
That's
but
pretty
at FIBA AmeriCup and Central Basket, not like the Olympics or anything.
Honestly, we had him like globetrotting around the world playing basketball when he's obviously from the Dominican Republic. He's married to Miss Universe, right? Who is from the Dominican Republic. He's like a legend there.
Right, right. But I don't think Dominican Republic has played in FIBA in a long, long time, though. And like Joel Embiid's playing. Well, who's he playing for next?
Well, France, but that's a relationship with Cameroon.
Yeah, yeah. No, my point is you could play, like, all over the place. Like, there's a lot of guys who play on weird different teams, right?
Yeah, but you got to admit, Al Horford on the Argentinian national team did seem a little odd.
I did not know that the Dominican Republic had a big team every year.
Manu Ginobili, Al Horford.
They haven't played. When's the last time? Tell me your last time you saw the Dominican team play.
I thought that correct me if I'm wrong about this, Sam, do we have to Google it? I don't want to be spreading lies. I think Carl Anthony Towns played on the Dominican Republic team and John Calipari was his coach. I could have fabricated that out of thin air. That could be true. There's no middle. Either I made it up or it's true. And we're going to have to let you know after the break. What a cliffhanger. Oh, man. If you want to listen or if you missed any part of our interview with Brian Scalabrine, you can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. We have social clips, Maggie and Perl on Twitter, facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram, and a brand spanking new YouTube channel where you can watch all of the good stuff from the Maggie and Perloff show. Coming up next, disgruntled players at NFL minicamps. We got them. Maggie and Perloff, bottom of the hour, a little late. Sorry about that. Apologies. Time for a CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.